Like this morning, and looks like we're in the fall, so
yeah,
got a few couple mornings. It's been nice. And if you notice the on the bulletin board, Feed the Children, this congregation has made a donation to that, and we've been supporting them all along, but we made an extra donation. We'd probably we'll continue to help them, and that they'll continue to get other support. It's for a good cause. So, as always, let's remember this on our prayer list, and if anybody has any updates, please let me know. At Providence Place, Katie Hensley and Mr. and Mrs. Leathers from the Diversity Care, Brother Jimmy Mays. Kathy Taylor's improving. And we pray that she'll continue to improve, and hopefully she'll come back to visit us again when she gets strong enough. So let's continue to pray for Kathy Taylor. A reminder about the new directory. If you've not filled out your information, please do so. The forms are in the back on the table, so we can go ahead and start and get this finished. So. I think about everybody's done it, but if you hadn't, please pick one up in the back and fill it out. It didn't take maybe 2 minutes to fill it out. So, gospel meetings in the area will be at Nesbitt Church of Christ October 4th, starting October 4th to the 7th. And Brownlow Dindy will be the speaker. It'll be 7 p.m. Monday through Wednesday. I don't think that. Oh, everybody's seen the new cemetery sign? It looks really good. So if you hadn't seen it outside, here it is on our bulletin. And we're proud of that. Proud that we had the donation made that we were able to do that. So, Brother Jim has asked us for his prayers. And let's continue to pray for Brother Jim. I don't have anything else except maybe if you want to donate something to the pantry, the list is here in the bulletin. And I think we're starting to stock up pretty good, aren't we?
We are.
We are. So, but there's a list of what we need in our pantry, and if you can donate, that'd be greatly appreciated. I don't have anything else. I have first prayer, so if you would bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this beautiful day you blessed us with, and we're grateful that we can have the health to be here to study another portion of your word and to sing songs of praise to you. Father, we're grateful for Brother Robert and Sister Jane as they labor here. Father, we pray your richest blessings upon them. And we're grateful for Brother Tom as he leads us in song. We're grateful for this great country. Father, we pray that you continue to bless this country even through the turmoil, and the only way out is through you, and we appreciate that. Father, we pray for the men and women on the front lines. Father, we pray that you keep them out of harm's way. Father, we're grateful for your son. Father, we pray that if we fall short, and when we do fall short, that you'll forgive us for that. Father, we pray that you continue to guide us in each and every way. Forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good to see each and every one of you this morning. Let's open our song books to number 643. 643. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, say what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort bring you to your journey.
Because he loves me so. 26, beginning in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Heavenly Father, we gather around this table this morning. We are truly grateful for the sacrifice that's made for us. Father, this bread represents that broken body that hung on that cross. Father, we pray who partakes of it does in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's pray. Again, Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this fruit of vine, which represents that blood that was shed for us. Father, we pray that who partake of it do so in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Father, we pray that as we give back today, Father, we pray that we'll give back with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have 24 present this morning. Today is September 27th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our song books at number 718. 718 will be our song invitation. Once you've marked that, let's turn to number 361. 361. There's a great
coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left, are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready?
In the study of God's Word, we've seen the plan of salvation that Jesus offered to us in the New Testament of the Bible. And we've noted in regard to the repentance of sin and how that we come back to God once we become a Christian, how that when we get in wrongdoing, we can come back to God. And today I want to take a look at why we are so insistent upon teaching the Bible in this regard. It is the case that as we read the Bible, we find the Scriptures teaching us in regard to how we are to appreciate the authority of the Word of God. David wrote in Psalms 119, verse 97, "How love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day." Notice what he says, "How love I thy law." The law set forth by God is not to harm mankind. It is to keep mankind going on the right path, doing the right things, and being of the right help to their fellow man. As a result of doing that sort of thing in life, God blesses that life in that way. He goes on to tell us in regard to this way, in Psalms 119, verse 105, "How that thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my pathway." It is the case that the word of God is that which is a lamp to where we are in immediate surroundings, where we are in a matter of temptation and trials and difficulties like that, or whether we are in a light along our way, a light that shines out beyond us to see dangers that may be up ahead and troubles that may be up ahead lying there. And so we find ourselves looking at that. It is noted in verse 130 of Psalms 119, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." We have that light in God's Word. And as the lamp under our feet and the light under our pathway, we have that light from God's Word guiding us and teaching us how to be and how to do. When we talk about the Word of God, we're talking about that which is the inspired message of the Lord. And when we talk about the inspired message of the Lord, we're talking about that which is righteous and good. I want to read a little bit from the introduction. Brother Burleson's book. Brother Burleson became the new director of the School and Fried Hartman's Bible annual Bible lectureship. And so as a result of that particular work he's done, he's worked with a number of people out of the Warren Institute for Apologetics and the idea of the Bible, the scripture. And he notes to us in his introduction about this, about how we're reading God's Word. He said, yet there's an unmistakable God-breathed unity to his book. Consider how biblical books specifically confirm the details of other biblical books. Joshua 1 verifies Deuteronomy 34 and the death of Moses and the transition of power from Moses to Joshua as they went along time. From Joshua 1 and Deuteronomy 34. The books of history confirm the laws and the precedents of the Pentateuch itself, the books of the Old Testament of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 17 has a great example of Solomon in his ways. And when we have Judges 1, it verifies Joshua and his ways of doing. In settling the people, we will serve the Lord in our day and time. In Jeremiah 52, it verifies 2 Kings 25 and 25. And Ezra 1 verifies 2 Chronicles 36. And 1 and 2 Chronicles and 1 and 2 Kings confirm one another's historical evidence in the creation and in the time of suffering during that Old Testament time. Daniel refers to Jeremiah in Daniel 9 at verse 2. And Ezekiel refers back to Daniel in Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 3. The gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John also confirm the ideas of pleasantness and ideas of God's work and God's ways as we read the Old Testament scriptures of the Bible. So it is that we find ourselves doing what God's word says and following his will, and noting, as David did note regarding this matter, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So it is to be people that follow the ways of God and the ways of righteousness, is that we will go by his word and follow his teaching, knowing that there are characters in the Bible and knowing that they had activities that please God. We see the pleasing, and we see also the displeasing of God by way of their conduct in life. And so when we see the problems with their conduct in life, surely we would know that that's no way for us not to practice. When we read the Old Testament of the Bible, we read the things aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15 and verse 4. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the Word of God and how we read it, how we look at it from the standpoint of my life, my deeds, my words, my mannerisms of life, my habits in life. All these things are to be verified by way of what read in the Scripture. In regard to this matter, the book of Psalms, in reference to the matter, it is talked about greatly in the book of Psalms, as we've already mentioned about Psalms 119. But let us go back to Psalms 41. And in Psalm 41, there is a statement made in regard to our lives and how we find ourselves before God in that way. In Psalm 41 at verse 1, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And be thou not delivered to him unto the will of the enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing, and what wilt thou with all his bed of his sickness? The Lord said, be merciful. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, and heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. When we do the sins that we do in life, we recognize that we sin against God. It's God's way that we're to honor, and God's way that we're to follow. And how we find, blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in a time of trouble. That New Testament passage in Ephesians chapter 4 and at verse 32 tells us, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. But it tells us to be good to people and helpful to people as we go through life. Using our opportunities to serve others, we find ourselves doing what God's word says to do. And so as we serve others, we find ourselves an opportunity to reflect upon God's word and my thinking and my life and my deeds. And we find God's will to be my will as I practice that way of life. Thus there is a blessing that comes to those who care for the poor and in times of need and circumstances. And he says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And then he goes on to say the following about this, how that we're to be people who do not take advantage of the poor that are around us, but how that we serve those that are around us in that way. When we find ourselves serving others, we first would be people who serve ourselves. Because in serving ourselves, we realize the importance of doing the service to God as we should. If we do not serve ourselves as we ought to, we despise ourselves, we don't appreciate ourselves, we don't appreciate the God-made person that we are. For when we find ourselves being born on this earth, we find the opportunity to know God's will and God's word because it's been preserved down through the stream of time. You realize that there are people in the Bible who suffered because of God's word being with them. And as we go along in history, it's thereby defined that the people in the days of Rome and the people in the days of those particular powers on earth despised the Word of God, despised the Bible being God's Word, and despised the people who were serving. And yet, it happened to them in that day and time, as it's happened just a few months ago in our day and time. Those who were serving God and tending to the needs of mankind and helping mankind around them found themselves being punished and pushed away and hurt very greatly. But they found themselves, once they got into what they were into, in the communistic forms that were being done, what did they do? They became fed up with that and they turned back to the people that they had denied, the people that they had sent out of the country, the people that they had punished and hurt. They wanted to come back and help them and serve them in this way because that is what God's word says would happen. Find that sort of thing being done in life, and we find ourselves hoping that God's will be our will in life. We noted in 1 John 1 at verse 9 how that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we talk about God's will, we're talking about a word that is going to help our lives, help us daily in our daily walk of life. Help us in our ways of doing His will. When we find that to be done, it is said regarding God, and we did or entered a sin, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and also to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, unrighteousness begins with a way of thinking in our heart. We're thinking about a deed that we can do. We're thinking about evil that we can do upon others. We're thinking about wrong that we can commit. And we're thinking about it to the degree that we find ourselves approving ourselves that we can go ahead and do that wrong and hurt somebody else and harm somebody else and take advantage of somebody else. And as a result of doing that, what we're doing in life, we're taking advantage of that which we're thinking in our minds, in our heart, and we're finding ourselves doing that because we want to do it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And as a result of our thinking and doing, we find ourselves doing this. But if we, 1 John 1:9, confess our sins, if we realize along the way, this hurt, this causes tears, this causes pain, this causes trouble in the lives of others. What I'm doing, what I'm saying, how I'm misbehaving has a big effect upon others. And so what I think about is this, in this regard, is to how can I make this thing right with God? How can I make it right with the Lord? And I come to a passage like 1 John 1 that talks about me being in the fellowship of the Father and the Son. And I think back to my days. I have become a part of the fellowship of the Father and the Son. I too was confessing my faith in Christ. I too was baptized into Him and raised to walk in newness of life. And in being raised to walk in newness of life, I look down the stream of time to see what circumstances I would get into. And in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, that unrighteous thought that I've had, that unrighteous thought that I've entertained, that unrighteous thought that I've developed in my mind, I begin to practice that way in my life. And hurt and harm becomes others, that are my family, friends, neighbors, anyone around about me in life, I find to be harmed by way of what I'm saying and doing. And so I repent of that. I come back to God. And I find myself in fellowship with Him, and I find myself saying to God, I've sinned, I've done wrong, please forgive me of this. And He says, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm going to cleanse you from the way that you're thinking that led you to the things that you did, because as you thought in your heart, so were you. And so instead of continuing to be that way in my heart and life and thinking of those thoughts, I want to think about the things of God and the righteousness of God. And what does He do? He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Forgives us of our sin, but He cleanses us from all unrighteousness as well. Unrighteousness, of course, carried to its own norm, is an end to death. And James 1 tells us that way. He says, let not a man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither doth He tempt any man. But a man is tempted when he is drawn aside by his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. You see, here's an enticement of sin. And here is sin that's finally done. When it brings forth sin, it brings forth ultimately death. When that lust of life brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. He's talking about a separation from God. Well, that word death means that. When the body is separated from the spirit, James 2, 24, when a body is separated from the spirit, that body becomes dead. That spirit goes back to God who gave it. Solomon said that much back in the book of Ecclesiastes. In reference to this matter, he said, when the spirit shall return to God who gave it, and the body return to the dust of the earth from whence it was made. Our bodies return to the dust of the earth. Our spirit returns to God who gave it. And now then, how is the shape of that spirit that returns to God? Is it returning to God filled with sin, never repented of, never asked God's forgiveness of it, never sought to have the cleansing from unrighteous thoughts that brought about those sins and wrongdoing? Here I am before God and I find myself there. What can I do? What can I think God for, when I never thanked Him for anything about this earthly life? Let me be a spiritually minded person. And as I spiritually minded grow in the Lord, I find myself being immersed into Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. And in that newness of life, I find an opportunity to be people, a person who has the forgiveness of God of sin and the cleansing from all unrighteousness. Jesus, before He left this earth, came to His disciples and talked to them about the fact that He would not always be with them. And they were very sad about it. They did not conceive that they could go on very well and do very much good in life by Jesus leaving them at this time. And so they were very sad about that. And Jesus encourages them to realize this in John 17 when He says, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. He said, I'll pray the Father, and He will send the Spirit unto you. And the Spirit, when He has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself, but whatever He hears from the Father, that He'll speak. And He'll guide you into teaching the truth. What we have in the pages of the Bible, we have the New Testament of the Bible and the teaching that the Spirit of God gave to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and James and Jude. We have the ideas of Peter and Paul there, not of their mind, but of the Holy Spirit guiding and directing them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talks about that. He talks about how wonderful it is to have the Spirit of God in our lives, and how that by that Spirit we find ourselves teaching the Word, the will of God, which we now speak unto you. He says regarding this matter, I do not do this because the Spirit came and then left. But the Spirit came and revealed this truth, gave this to teach, and I teach this matter unto you now. And so the brethren at Corinth had heard about the matter, and they heard about all the things that were going on in the church there at Corinth, and they needed to repent of their things. They needed to change their way of life. And they did so. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it is noted of them that they did this gratefully. They were pleasantly pleased to know that God would forgive them and be with them and go with them through life. Do we have that sort of thought, our thought in mind today? That we'll be better off by being the people that God's Word tells us to be. Instead of hurting and harming others, I will love thy law. It becomes my meditation all the day. Will we be that kind of people? Thus, when we meet the Lord at the judgment time, we'll find ourselves enjoying the relationship that we had with Him and the Spirit of God, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, read it there in Romans chapter 8 in reference to this matter. And you read how the Spirit of God will come to those who are obedient to the Lord and recognize their spirit, and how that He bears record to God that our spirit is what it ought to be. Is our spirit where it ought to be? If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, would you not come and let us pray together in this matter, the whole congregation with you, in regard to this matter, so that you can be the kind of person that you promised you would be at the time you were raised to walk in newness of life. Come as we stand together and sing this good song today.
They draw near in front with it demanding. Whose is the Lord that I hear? Sweetly the tones are calling. Open the door for me. If thou wilt be my song.
To help us to work with the young fall team down at Strayhorn on the Friday afternoon. Before they went on the trip, they had a meal together. And the meal, the pizza that was fixed up and everything, was just real good for them. And I think it was TJ said this morning that nobody got sick from it. That was good. And when you go over there and play at Independence and don't get things messed up in your stomach, that's good, a good word for you. What a blessing. Good to be with y'all, and look forward to seeing you tonight at 6. And God bless everybody. Be free from this virus. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for thy love and care. We thank you so much for the hope that we have in the glory of this day and with thee. We're prayerful for those in times of sickness and illness. Father, we have not mentioned this morning Brother Ralph Pace, very faithful member of the church there at Winona, very involved with the activities of the camp at Sarge Lake Christian Camp. Johnny's dad, who succumbed to the COVID virus as well as other things, and over this last week. Bless his family with the memories that they have for Brother Ralph Pace and all the things that he was doing in life for good. God bless this congregation. With renewed zeal, teach others and guide others and invite others to be a part of our worship as well as the reading of God's Word from day to day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.